Tyrone Wright, beginning the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Sunday, the 14th of April. Tyrone Wright, beginning the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Sunday, the 14th of April, 74. Tyrone Wright, beginning the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Easter Sunday, the 14th of April, 74. Tyrone Wright, beginning the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Easter Sunday, the 14th of April, 74.
I ate more than usual.
Really?
Yeah, I eat about every 3-4 hours. I'll take a little snack or something.
A sandwich?
I got that way ever since I had ulcers.
Oh, I see.
So I just eat a little bit at a time.
And Peggy does about the same.
But she gets up all hours of the night. She'll either get up and make, and she wonders why she don't sleep. She'll eat 2 or 3 crackers. You know, you can't eat go to sleep when you fill up on a few frankfurts. I should get up and cook a pork chop.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah. And sit there until 4 o'clock in the morning or 3:30. Or sometimes when that owl hoot shows on, she stays up all the night. She watches that all night long.
That's what?
TV. And I can't do that. They bother me after a certain length of time. I want to sleep. I don't know what the hell with that TV.
The owl hoot show.
That's that one that goes on till dawn.
I didn't know there was one like that.
Yeah, Channel 9. Every when the heck is it? I think it's Friday nights. Every Friday night that it goes on until dawn in the morning. And Peggy will sit there all night and watch that.
Movie?
Yeah, all kinds of weird stories and everything.
Like,
all them old-time plays, like the vampires and all that business.
Oh.
I can't go for that stuff. I want to go to sleep. That's why I pushed her in that other room in there. And she's got TV in there, and I got one in my room. But I get the news or something and shut the damn thing off and try to go to sleep. But half the time, hers is blaring and waking me up.
I'll
build her a soundproof room.
Yeah.
Get some of that acoustic blocking and do the whole room with them.
God almighty, she looks forward to that, don't she?
Yeah, she's a TV nut. Watch that when she gets up in the morning. Yeah, she stays awake until day dawn. Takes some kind of pill for her nerves. I think she could do without them if she'd regulate herself a little bit better than she does. Them pills are no good for anyone taking them continually.
No, you got to get off of them now.
Yeah. The doctor prescribes them for her all the time.
Hmm.
I know.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. What it is mostly all phenobarbital. And that's no damn good for nobody. But I can't break her off of them.
Well, she looks so healthy.
Yeah. She's a nervous wreck.
You mean she's a nervous wreck and looks that healthy?
Yeah. Say she's a bundle of nerves.
Well, she sure don't look it,
does she? No, not. Today she's all right. Sometimes. Like I was this morning after drinking.
Hey,
getting nervous as hell.
I put some coffee in my cup, powdered coffee in my cup, and George, I was going to put the water in too. George came around, he's a host, you see, and put it in. And I'm telling you, he hit the cup.
I sure
all
had
right.
The shake.
But you didn't spill any.
Nope. Oh, man.
Well, you don't go to bed at 7 o'clock either.
Well, I didn't last night. I went
on
to the
Saturday
bar.
Night.
Went to the bar.
But when they go to the bar, they, from the impression I get, is generally stormy.
Oh, really?
Now, last night, it was this... who was it? He was complaining about this young fella.
That poor guy's just a nut, like. He's drank so much he's rummed him. And he accused me and Dave of stealing his lighter, and anybody accuses Dave of being a thief, he loses his head altogether.
Yeah. Oh, you mean it was that kind of night?
Yeah. Dave wanted to kill him. I told him, Dave, forget about it. That poor guy don't even know what he's doing.
That's right. He probably didn't know what he was saying.
That was about it. But he says, you must have taken it. Dave says he's seen who took it, but he didn't say nothing. Phew.
Well, now, he got a hold of him.
Yeah. He was going to bust the hell out of him.
Well, he did bust him, did he or not?
No. He didn't hit him. I told him to lay off him, David. The guy's a bored nut.
Oh.
But he said if it happened again, he
yeah,
was
he would. Take his head off.
He's going to get his hand in that long hair and just take his head out there and throw
shake it around.
Shake it around.
Bruce sounds like that, but he. When it comes to getting in a fight or something, he shies off for a minute. I know him well. He can talk big, but there ain't much to him in the end.
Well, that's a pretty safe place to talk big there in the kitchen. Nothing going to happen much in there, is it?
That's right.
we were staff, babe. Of course, they was ready to go, and Dave.
Yeah, just taking a bath and getting all ready on him. I guess he showed up first, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You come right behind him.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah. Dave came over to Georgie.
Yeah, I was trying to get out at 10, be all set at 10 o'clock.
They were sitting, when I got there, they were established there at the kitchen table. Dave was established.
Yeah, he had his beer under the table. He thought I was going to drink with him, but I fooled him. I know enough to lay off. I wouldn't work tomorrow if I got loaded today.
It takes 24 hours to get your head clear.
Oh, does it, George?
Sure does. All I need is a few more beers and I kept on drinking.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. If I didn't touch one then, why, I'd be all right tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work tomorrow, I don't know. Some days he comes and picks me up, and some days he don't. I told him I don't give a damn as long as I get a day now, and then there's two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he owes me about $96.
He pays everybody off but George.
How's that, George?
When he's shot, boy, well, he'll pay me, but it takes some time. I'm his friend, I guess that's the reason.
Oh.
And if he's shot and on his books or something, he waits until he builds it up and then pays me later when his big boss pays him. He's afraid to write out too much checks on the bank. Half the time he don't even know what he's got in there.
He's a subcontractor.
Mm.
Oh.
What did he say? He could do anything connected with
wood. He told me about my back door, how bad it looked. I told him, I've been waiting for a carpenter. I said, you know, me and him used to live there one time. I think he was with me for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told him I've had a lot of carpenters here, but they never worried about that back door when it was here. He just looked at me. He built that closet now. Front room for Peggy about 3 years ago.
He's a good egg, I could tell. But he was established and comfortable, and he didn't want to move.
Mm. His wife at home, I was burning up because it wasn't at home 10-1.
Yeah.
Well, that's better than keeping hours up at the university. You can work when you want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. There is some advantage in that.
Oh, you haven't got somebody looking down your neck all the time, punching the clock in and out.
They got not so much of that punch and clock punch, they have much time for anything else.
Yeah. They spend about 45 minutes between riding the buses and punching the clocks. It's wasted.
Joy, now who is Dave?
Huh? Dave Mayberry.
Who is he?
He comes from, where the hell is he?
He's not akin to anybody.
You have to make him up here, there. What the hell is it? Wisconsin. I believe it is.
Oh.
He originates from there.
I know he said there was 7 Mayberries in the telephone directory.
Yeah.
And I thought what he was going to say was, you know, that he was had his family all around him,
yeah.
Just like y'all had. And
yeah, they were all over the office.
And these here, they made a connection.
Yeah.
Mayberry, M-A-Y-B-E-R-R-Y. Ray Mayberry. He said he could do anything with a sawmill. He could take the saw and shorten it. Put it on and use it and take the lumber and use it. He had a pretty good story, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I've seen him, you know, he's here on the ground with that skill saw and the other couple of odd carpenters, you know, sometimes he has 3 or 4. He'd just look at something and cut that damn thing out and hand it to him and tell him to nail it. He is a good carpenter, and he's a good cabinet maker, too.
Oh.
So I guess he's all right anything in wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were putting these pieces up on this one house, and somehow or other he just looks at it and figures it out as you come down on an angle and everything, and he cut it. And usually every damn piece he passes up and tells him to nail it, it fits right in place.
You mean he can do the angle, too?
Yeah.
Oh!
Cut out of the eaves of the house and everything and just tell him to take it and put it up there.
That's
pretty true.
I wouldn't mind sort of being in the bushes and look out and watch him work a little bit.
Yeah.
That's true, I wouldn't.
He's pretty sharp.
I'd love to see somebody, you know, who's got the natural ability.
Once in a while, a woman will say, that ain't going to be right. He says, when I get through it, it'll be right. You just nail it when I tell you.
My goodness.
Amen. You say to me, they think they know what they're doing. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, you see why George works with Dave.
Sure, I do.
It ain't dull.
I cuss him out instead of him cussing me out, but the other ones he won't put up with. Like I pulled that stunt yesterday, left him, he said he felt kind of tired and the car broke down. He'd already called a mechanic to come out and fix it. And I know the old mechanic, Walt Wales. So when Walt showed up, he said, I got to go in for some parts. I said, you take me in there, too. Just leave him stay there and go to sleep. So I come in town, and I notice right across from the street is the auto place from the bar I was sitting in. And Walt came back 2 or 3 times to get parts for that car.
I don't mind.
I'd have been sitting there until about 6 o'clock waiting for get home. But I didn't get home until late anyhow.
Now you see, Peyton?
Yeah.
You see? Now that's a pair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think.
And then when he come, we went to the next bar.
Oh, you and Dave?
Yeah.
Well, I can see you're a buddy.
Yeah. He cuts the hell out of all the other ones, but he keeps off of my back. But he told me yesterday, he says, George, I never thought you could come back to this stuff again. You leave something for me to do, and I just go ahead and do it, and he gets out of the way, and he says, I wish I had about 3 more like you.
Yeah.
Anything that needs fixing up or cleaning, you just walk away from me and tell me I want this and that, and that's it. And you don't bother me no more until I'm all through.
Well, I'm a
said he had a couple of kids there, and it took him all day to just sweep a house out. Yesterday he took one.
Cost him $50 to get the house swept out.
Yeah, they're just about. Yes, he says, I'm going in town. He says, you'll be good for the day here. I told him, Dave, I'll be through here in 3 to 4 hours. And he looked at me. Okay, I'll be back at 2. When he got back, I was through about 1:30.
What were you doing?
Just cleaning up and, you know, up over all the doors where the plaster and hung the sheetrock and stuff. I had to trim all them out, all the doors and stuff, and clean everything out in that they threw all over the place. So I cleaned the house out and all the trash they had thrown out through the windows and everything. I had it all done by 1:30.
You know, I've never had any experience with sheetrock.
Mm.
All I know is that it is nasty.
Yeah, it is.
It just
hard to work with.
Over everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're in a new house, it's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're working in a house where you're living,
mm.
man, it can get you, can't it?
Oh, yeah. An old house. I fooled him. I taught him something he didn't know. I went over and stole some of the painter's mineral spirits and all the sawdust that was around there. I gathered it all up and got a wheelbarrow and threw it in the wheelbarrow and poured that mineral spirits in, mixed it up, and went and scattered all around the house. Swept it up, no dust flying in the
Where'd you get onto that?
Just from working around, trying out different things. I used to raise hell with them over the university, get me some of that cured sawdust, but boy, you couldn't even get, they won't even buy it anymore. When I was in the Siegel building, they used to give me some. Then they stopped it altogether.
Cost too much?
Yeah. But you take regular sawdust and make it up yourself. One way of keeping, when you're sweeping, it keeps that dust straight down. You can do about the same thing with coffee grounds.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. You don't want a bunch of the damp coffee grounds, tea leaves, anything like that. It'll hold down the dust if you just scatter it around and sweep up. I've done some crazy things in my time.
That is crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
Just think
it sure holds the dust down.
That's about as screwball as you can figure out, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, now that's what it takes, Ray. I guess you got to be a screwball to
that's right.
come up with something like that.
Mr. Irby, when I was down there, she used to be hauling all the time for this cured sawdust, and they wouldn't deliver it. So we used to make that big coffee here and there for the help. I used to make it every morning. I'd save all them coffee grounds for a few days. Then one day she come in and I had it all scattered all over that cement floor. That was a dusty place there. There was always cutting stuff and everything. And she come in and looked. She said, what are you doing, George? Isn't that coffee grounds? I said, yeah, watch how it works. I was sweeping there and she was used to the colored kids coming in sweeping and the dust flying all over the place. Man, that cleaned up that floor and no dust at all. Coffee grounds damp held it down. Amen.
You don't get many people like her to work for.
Mm. She was a nice woman. Phew, she sure raised hell when they pulled me out of that Siegel building.
Oh, they did that while she was there?
Yeah, she wrote a letter to Tallahassee. And then wrote to the boss over there and told them off. Man, she really rode them. And that's why the big boss didn't like me, because she rode the hell out of him. She
oh,
told
yeah.
him, she says, you're fooling with the wrong people. So she says, when Judge gets through cleaning up over there at the university, you better send him back to Siegel Building. You'll hear a lot more. Oh, I got a copy of that letter, the same letter she wrote. She gave me a copy. She said, I want you to hold this.
I love it.
Her and Joyce, it's sooner than a house there somewhere. I'll show it to you someday. She sure was burned up that day they took me away. But when he came there, he done that to everybody in the whole university.
Oh, he just switched.
Switched everybody. If they had worked in one place for 3 or 4 years, he'd pull them off and put them in a new place. He had that whole university going nuts. He's a screwball if there ever was one.
I know. He's the one who really, he got things all stirred up.
Yeah.
And he affected everybody. Affected me. See?
Yeah.
Because the people that he'd send over there where I was, it was halfwits.
Yeah.
You see, I used to see you around.
Yeah.
And I thought, hell, that's another halfwit there.
Well, I was hanging around with all the halfwits.
Well, there you are.
We'd all get on the bus together in the morning.
Yeah.
Man, that was the craziest bus I did. I was happy to get out of that bus ride. You'd be riding for about 25 minutes and noisy, all them jigs hollering and talking. I never seen buses like that. God, they can talk about nothing. That's what gets me.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
You laugh. Oh, Jesus, they have a ball. They're the screwiest people I ever seen.
And that lasted a good while. And
yeah,
it
and then coming back at nighttime, the same thing over and over. Man, I was getting so weary of that. Amen.
Well, look what this fella has to put up with, see, just to make a living.
That was,
it
I figured
until
I got in the 65th birthday, I'd put up with it for that 1 year. Boy, I'd never go through that again.
You did what, George?
This new boss, when he came, he got everybody upset. I got switched 3 times or 4 times while he was there for that last year I was working.
Where all did he send you?
First, he sent me to Norman Hall. I worked there.
That's
and,
an old...
Yeah, and this old school teacher there, Mrs... Love or something like that. She told me, she says, George, this place has never been so clean until you came here. And then all of a sudden he started to switch me, and then she started to raise hell. I used to clean the gym. She was an instructor for the gym and all that stuff. And I used to clean that up. She says, the floor is nice and clean now. It was never that way.
Oh, you couldn't tell, see, even over there where I was, you couldn't tell that anybody had ever been in there. All they did was empty the waste paper.
I know it. I've been over there.
Yeah.
And that was your last post. I guess that was the bottom of the ladder where they sent you over where I am.
Yeah.
You had them 3 buildings.
I had them three buildings. Hell, I'd stop at Floyd Hall, Flint Hall, Building I, and then them three. And they thought that one person could keep that all up.
Once a day?
Yeah, every day. Every one of them, you're supposed to go through and clean them. I used to look at Floyd Hall and open the doors, and I'd go change the toilet paper and get the hell out of there so I could get to Flint Hall before the students got in there. And then hit Building I and supposed to sweep that out, and that was the nastiest place I ever did hit. Then get over to Black Culture and clean that up. All carpets in there. I had to vacuum it every day. That's why that old guy liked me there, that old nigger professor there. Told me nobody ever vacuumed this every day before. I told him it was the only damn way to keep this place clean.
Every day.
But the English building, I didn't do much of nothing there because you couldn't even get in the rooms half the time to do anything.
And they don't have master keys anymore.
Yeah.
Their door got to be open.
Yeah. Then I'd have to go over the press and clean that up. Phew. Well, when that woman came and told me she was my new boss, that was the day I gave my... resignation. I told her, well, I says, I hope there's no hard feelings, but I just quit. She looked at me, what, is on the count of me, George? She said, we can get along fine. I said, no, I just quit. She said, you go give me 2 weeks notice. I said, you just got it. I'm going to work this next 2 weeks, and that's it.
Now, you told her something else. You told her it just happened to hit you right that minute.
That's right. I told him I wouldn't work for that nut over there anymore anyhow. I'm just sick and fed up on him. She's gone back on nights now. They pulled her out of there, from being the boss of that territory.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. They got that place so scrambled up, it's pitiful. Phew. I don't know why the hell Tallahassee don't do something about it, but I guess they never will.
Well, you know, I'm tempted to say that Tallahassee probably screwed up just as much as this.
10-1. Oh, man.
Oh, dear. George, tell Faye, I'd love to hear that, too. Now, let me see. What were we talking about? You put up with a lot of limeys, first and last.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, my people come from Wales, which is practically the same thing, but for some reason or other, I just didn't like them.
Just personal matter.
Yeah.
Just personal to you.
Yeah. I just couldn't stand them, because they brag so much and everything, you know.
Talk big.
Yeah. So one time in Reno, they had this big club there, the Club Mex.
Rio, see? That
Rio
big place.
Rio de Janeiro.
Oh,
Rio, however you call it, and have a good call.
A great big club there, and the Limeys had two ships in the harbor, and they had taken over this club. And whenever... like a Yank or something come in there or on from this side of the ocean, Christ, it beat the hell out of them or something. We just couldn't get in there. So I went to the manager of the place and hired the whole place for $2,700.
The whole place?
Yeah. I told him, now run every one of them damn Limeys out of here. So I brought the whole ship's crew down. We had a ball. Couple of days of it.
Couple of days?
Yeah.
And no limeys?
No limeys were allowed in. I bet you them limeys was glad when we got out of port.
And you footed the bill?
Yeah, $2,700. Well, we didn't know what to do with our money then. We was making so much.
Well, that's 100% in the war zone.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Oh.
Yeah, 100%. In the war zone, if you went under any kind of an attack, you got 125 for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you see, he's in a thin place, you see. God almighty, that's a long ways off, George.
Mm.
If you set out going down there, it'd take you 2 or 3 weeks to get there, wouldn't it?
Yeah. According to the speed of the ship, some of them I was on only made 12 and a half knots or so.
Yeah.
The old slow Liberty ships. Take them a few weeks.
Yeah.
But you didn't care.
Hmm. Just rolling along with the waves. What I used to get a kick out of Liberty ships when we'd pull in the port, we'd be there a week or two.
Yeah.
Some old tankers, you'd get in, you'd be... It might take them 8 hours to load to the whole ship, and then you'd be off again. You wouldn't even get no shore leave. I quit them.
But the Liberty ship, you'd be there indefinitely.
Yeah,
almost,
stayed one port one time, 45 days, and got 100% a day.
In port?
Korea.
Oh, that's in Korea.
Yeah, laying in the harbor in Korea.
Well, I hope they had some places to go.
I found places.
Now, you was never on a troop ship, say, one of them old Liberty ships hauling troops.
No. I've been on them when they sent nurses and things like that across.
Well, that'd be different.
Yeah, but never on a troop ship. I couldn't stand them things.
What would be the trouble?
Huh? Oh, Jesus. When they put them men down in that hole, they're always sick and rough with them and everything. Man, those are murderers. And you've got no space to walk around. Everybody wants to come up and get on top, because them damn places down there are bad. Bad air and all. I don't know how the hell they could put people on them liberty ships
and
like that.
And they stack them bunks.
Yeah.
6 and 8 deep.
Yeah. All up the sides of the ship. Ew, I couldn't stand that.
Yeah, the cargo, you got bunks.
Yeah. Cargo hole full of bunks.
You just pick your ship.
Yeah, I always did.
Oh.
If I'd have stayed with one company, I'd have got a pension. But I kept going from company to company. If I'd have stayed like in the Standard Oil or something, one of Texas Oil, one of them companies, I'd had a good pension. But
yeah.
I always picked out where the ship was going. That's where I want to go.
And then you'd have gone right along inside the coast all the time.
Yeah.
And
I'd have been flying up and down the coast of waters. If I heard a ship was going to Norway or something, I'd wait and get that ship. I was an independent sailor. Yeah.
Well, you know, I didn't. I thought that's one reason why the people went with sailors. I thought most of them would be pretty independent.
Most of them are now. We had to go through a lot of strikes to get that way. I remember when we'd take and throw a mess of food out on the table that wasn't fit to feed a hog.
Is that right?
Years back, that's right. And that was Standard Oil and all of them. Until the unions got in.
Yeah.
Now Standard Oil pays you more wages to keep out of the union. Even to the day, they got their own company union, which don't mean nothing. I went through all that stuff when I was a kid. I used to take a... They called me the agitator. I was barred from a lot of the companies. I'd come up to the captain with a tray of food they'd give us before I became an officer. And say, would you eat this, captain? Because I knew they were getting better. He'd say, you're just looking for trouble, aren't you? I'd get logged and every other goddamn thing.
You started out as an agitator?
Yeah, I had to get them unions going when I was a kid. Me and Mello Nolan and the hell was that other Joe Curran got to be such a big shot. We was the agitators all up and down the East Coast and the West Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we gave them companies a ball for a while.
What else did you do?
Huh?
What all did you do?
Well, we tried to hold strikes and this and that for better conditions. And after a while, it got into bloom when you didn't get what you wanted. You just sat down and went on strike. Till you got what you wanted.
On each ship.
Yep.
And nothing they could do about it.
They call it piracy, you know, but you was in port. There was no piracy there. Mutiny. The government won a few cases on that, but they never done nothing about it. God damn. I had a good time anyhow. Plenty of excitement. One time we had to pull a strike in Boston, and there was only one man that dared to come down on that dock. And you know who that was? That was John Kennedy.
Oh, really?
Nobody'd bother him.
Is that right?
He'd come down, talk to us, well, boys. How long is this going to be until we get our demands? And he'd go up there and find out what he could do about it.
Is that right?
That's right. He was the only one that did set foot on them docks and walk them. Otherwise, he'd been in the water. That man had more guts than anybody I ever seen.
Is that right?
Yeah. They lost a good man when they lost
him.
Now,
when did he do that, George?
During the strikes in Boston.
What year?
Oh, Christ, that was... from about 1939 right on until we got all we wanted.
On up to the war.
Yeah.
During the war.
I was an officer then, but I was still on the strikes. We had even the NEBA out on strike. Master mates and pilots. We was a lot of confusion, but now they get what they want.
Well, that John Candy was right young then, wasn't
he? Yeah,
he
was pretty young then. But he was still about one of the best people I ever ran into.
Yeah.
I think the whole family's that way. Though they say a lot about them, but I thought he was one of the best presidents this country ever had. But he's hated down through the South and all through here.
Well, that's that integration.
Yeah. Well, he was all part of that, and that's one of the reasons. But that part of it, I didn't like myself.
Yeah, but it didn't pinch you the way it did down here.
Yeah. I remember once when we was going to sea, there was the only niggas we had on them ships were mess boys or cooks or something. But now you can go on most of these companies and they're all over the ship.
Yeah.
That's half the reason I quit going to sea altogether.
Well, now that's, I understand that a little better than what you said before.
Yeah.
So
I just got disgusted, and half of the companies were going under
Panamanian
flags.
Yeah, you see, I quit over there the same time you
yeah.
did, and you see, I was fed up for various reasons,
yeah.
maybe some of yours. But you see, some of my best friends since I've been down Florida
yeah.
was the fellas over there working in maintenance. And I used to know all them nice, well, there's old broken down farmers, you see.
Yeah.
He'd got to go, a farmer couldn't make a living. They'd come in there and get a little job, and then they'd farm on the side.
Yeah.
Well, they'd come around, and hell, you could sit down and talk to them, George.
Yeah.
You could talk to them. Yeah, old Bunny Hole. He was a screwball if you ever saw one. He's big in the middle, egg shaped, you see.
Yeah.
And he sort of looked like he was cross-eyed and wore his glasses whenever he read, and right down on the end of his nose, and his pin-headed and everything like that.
Mm.
And he'd come up there with them old work breeches on, them old blue work breeches, not jeans, but you know, and tennis shoes.
Mm.
And if he didn't look a real clown, and you know, he's one of the nice fellows I ever saw.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? First thing you know, all they'd get was those gooks that you talk about.
Yeah.
And then you get them dim-witted fellas, you see, from the institution out
there.
Yeah. Well, what sort of world is that?
That was like Monroe in my nursery there. They sent over to Sunnyland, got some of them kids over there.
Yeah, Sunnyland.
They damn near drove me out of my mind.
Yeah.
I'd start these machines, you know, for mixing the dirt and stuff, spreader and stuff like that. And they'd come over and shut it off and look around, see if he was watching them. Man, I blew my top. I told Monroe, I said, you either get rid of these nuts or get rid of me, because I can't put up with this no
more. Well, you see, Faye, you take a fellow like George, he never sticks anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say if he stays over there in the tulip department for 6 years, I'd call that pretty good sticking.
Yeah.
But then you see something like this happens, and it just builds up, and it don't get any better, and what can you
do?
You've
got to do something about it.
You gotta move.
Yeah.
You just tell them to go to hell. That's about all you can do, ain't it?
Yeah, that's about all.
After so long a time.
I never loafed more than 1 or 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go
steady.
Quit one
see.
Job and just go out, find another one right away.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, now you see what happened. And you think, well, hell, this fella here, he ain't practical or prudent, you see. Look what he does. About the time he gets established, he walks off and leaves it.
Mm.
Well, you do, or else
well,
you'll go crazy.
Either do that, or else you'll go out of your mind trying to work with a bunch of nuts or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd have been as bad as they was after a while. Ew. But I sure had some screwballs they tried to work there. Some of them kids came out all pretty good, but most of them,
they
were
good, yeah.
Nutty as a bedbug.
Some of them, that's all they could do.
Yeah.
They weren't responsible.
Yeah. Whew.
But one thing you see, one thing George has done, I never could do. You see, he'd rather get in a good skirmish there. You see, it just gives him a good appetite just to think about it. You see.
Well, you don't want things to be too dull, George.
No, you gotta have a little excitement.
Was you ever in a free for all?
Oh yeah, correct. I've been in many of them.
Well, now how do they work out?
In the end, it don't look just right after it's all over.
What's that?
It don't look just right after it's all over.
Well.
And especially when you gotta foot the bill. I've been in a lot of barroom brawls, and boy, none of them ever paid off.
Well, now, what takes place, George, in a barroom brawl?
Well, once in a while, somebody will be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden they'll get in the fight, and their buddies join in. Before you know it, the whole place is fighting.
Well, what happens when they all fight?
That's when the police come, after everything's about busted up.
Well, how you bust it up?
Well, you're hitting each other with chairs or stools or what the hell's ever around. Then after they collect in so many, they got to pay for the damages. Or else do time.
Yeah. Well, now, you don't, you when you're fighting with chairs, you see, both of you got a chair.
Yeah.
So you don't have a fair shot at a fella. Huh?
You just keep rushing it around, hitting who you think is your enemy. I used to do that when I got down here, first got down here. Geez, I have a fight in all the bars.
You just pick a fight?
Huh? No, I wouldn't exactly pick one, but if somebody gave me any lip, boy, I'd just turn around and smack them one, and then everybody would be hopping on me, and a few of my friends would hop in to help me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got Peggy in a couple of them brawls a few years back.
She remembers it, I guess.
The only thing she done to help me out was to hit a friend of mine over the back with a cue stick and knock him cold.
A friend of yours?
Yeah. He was coming to help me. I attacked this big guy, they call him Regan. He's about 6'2", just about that, and big and husky. And they had this Cliff Wilson. Every time you play the jukebox, old Cliff Wilson would get up. He was a little jerk. He'd get up and whistle at the top of his voice. And I knew to get at him, I had to hit this Regan. I told him, Regan, you either tell him to quit whistling, I'm going to slug you. And I slugged Regan all right, but he knocked me down 3 times.
But you could get up.
Yeah, I kept getting up, coming at him. And then this old Johnny Nobles got up to give me a hand because Cliff Wilson was sticking his nose in the two. And when he got up, Peggy floored him with a cue stick. He said, God damn, George, I'll never try to help you again. Oh, man.
Well, I'll never tell you, George.
That was funny, but I wouldn't have wanted to got hit with that cue stick the way he did.
Well, Regan knocks you down 3 times in a row when you keep getting up.
Yeah, that agitated the hell out of Big Bastard.
He wasn't used to that?
Yeah. Every time he hit me, I just rolled with the punches. It wouldn't even affect me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It didn't even bother me. I'd wore him out in another half hour or so.
And him trying.
Yeah, him swinging away.
Well, you don't run into anybody with any dangerous weapons ever.
Oh, you do often in them bars. Christ, it was only about a month ago, some nut in there got up and put a knife across my throat in the oyster bar.
Yours?
Yeah. Peggy was sitting right beside me. I think he was full of weed.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Yeah. These kids today are nutty as hell.
Oh, you
and if I'd have got excited, he'd have cut me.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at him like that. I told him, boy, you made a mistake this time. I said, because when you put that knife down, I'm going to get you, because you ain't going to cut my throat here. He just looked at me and put the knife away. When he did, he says, come on outside. So I told him, you just go right ahead, I'll be right out. He was nutty as a fruitcake. And I knew his mother and father, that's why I didn't push him to get him arrested or anything. So he goes outside and he pulls that knife again right beside the door outside. So I picked up a cue stick and I made a believe him coming out to walk by the door, and I jabbed the cue stick around, caught him in the belly, and he dropped the knife. I was going to work him over that cue stick. Man, he took off down that road and he was throwing bricks at me. Nutty. And the cops brought him back and asked me if I'd press charges. I said, no. So I seen him about 2 weeks ago up in John R. Thomas's. I said, you want to pull another knife on me, punk? He said, forget about it, forget about it. Amen.
I didn't quite picture the motion of that cue stick when you knocked that knife out of him.
He went out the door waiting for me to come out to fight him, you know, and he still had that knife, and he had it open when I got out there.
Yeah.
But I stopped and picked up that cue stick on the way out, and I got right to the...
You had that in your mind.
I sure did. He wasn't going to beat me the draw the next time. So I just reached around the corner of the door and jabbed, and it hit him right in the belly.
Before you got out.
Yeah, before I walked out the door, I got him with the cue stick around the corner.
He was just waiting for you to come out.
That's right. He was going to hop me with the knife again.
So you just got to drop on him.
Yeah. Old Jesse come running out and picked up the knife and called the police. That jerk had run away down the road and stopped. I kept following him. I couldn't run, but I had that cue stick. If I caught up with him, I'd have busted him clean the path.
Well, now there you are.
That just happened recently.
Yeah, just about a month ago. Peggy bring her look. She was so scared she didn't know what to do.
She's sitting right beside you.
Yeah, it kind of got her too when I just looked at him and told him, you made a bad mistake this time, punk. When you put that knife down, I'm going to get you.
They not actually tough.
Hmm? No, they really ain't tough, but if they got that weapon, they'll sure cut you if you get excited at that moment.
Yeah, but you see, that's the sort that can't afford to get tough because they ain't tough.
That's right. I see the little jerk off and on now. He seems about back in condition again, but he was full of weed that night.
Yeah.
I never did ever speak to him. Why he pulled that on me, I could never understand.
He didn't know what he was doing, Bob.
Yeah, that was about it.
Oh, man, it just makes me tired to think about all that. That's something.
Pretty soon I'm going to have enough sense to stay at home. I don't know when.
Won't be any fun, George.
No, I guess it wouldn't.
But when you were in the Navy, you didn't run into young...
I was in the merchant
Navy. Merchant Marine, excuse me. The youngsters... I mean, the fellas weren't doping. They weren't. Their fights were a little different, weren't they?
You didn't have to put up a dope then.
Oh, you always get them on a ship. There's always one or two in the.
There was then?
Ship, yeah. You always run into dope teams here or there.
Oh.
All them ships, there'd be somebody aboard there that was a dope team.
You know, I never pictured the dope teams as being physical. I always think of them as retiring.
Yeah, they're retired all right after they get to that dope in them.
They retire and withdraw.
But sometimes they can take an overdose and be as dangerous as hell.
Oh, can they?
Mm.
Just get out of head.
Yeah. I've watched them all my life.
Well, now, you see, just plain whiskey or beer, you know how that, I mean, people know how that affects you.
Yeah.
See? And when you know kind of what to expect, it's a little different.
Yeah. Jag is all whiskeyed up and sometimes gets in a lot of trouble, too. A lot of people shouldn't ever touch it. I should never touch it myself, but I do.
I'd rather have somebody all whisked up than full of dope.
Yeah, so would I. But in a way, that's about the same. same as alcohol or dope, because an alcoholic is really, in a way, a dope fiend. When you need a drink continually, you're just as bad off as a dope fiend. There's only one way to stop an alcohol. You got to quit altogether. This sociable drinking, there ain't no such thing once you start drinking steady. That ends sociability. I know.
I say that again.
I say there's no such a thing as a sociable drinker. You drink so far and then
you start drinking.
Yeah, you really drink. You lose all that sociability effect. Next day you need another drink.
Well, that's what I say too.
You see how I was this morning? Now just imagine me doing that day in and day out, just killing myself.
George, if you start drinking beer, you don't mix it, do you?
Well, once in a while I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get bad.
Well, beer mixes pretty well with a little whiskey.
Yeah, I used to do that in my younger days. Take a shot and the beer and drown it. That catches up with you. That's what they call Boilermaker.
Uh-huh.
Now tell that.
Yeah.
Ooh. What do you? Used to watch them old stevedores. That's what they'd always do. Come in and get a 3-ounce glass of whiskey and down it with a beer. And some of them would do it all night long and then go back to work the next day.
You can build up a sort of tolerance.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's what the stevedores would come in and ask.
Yeah, they get it. They used to serve them just about a 3-ounce glass of whiskey in the old days. They can't afford that now, I guess. And they top it off with a beer, just throw a beer on top of it. Gee, they're tough characters.
God almighty, yeah.
And then go back to work.
And then go back to work.
Mm.
Do that all night.
Yeah. Get off work and come back to the bar and have a few more before they go went home. That would be their dinner too, some of them.
Yeah. You'd want to be there, particularly how you talk when you're around there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have any trouble spending the money.
They get damn big pay. Now, years back to them.
George, beer is expensive too.
Yeah. Some places it's 45. 50, ABC store is 60, just a small can.
I didn't realize that. I bought some the other day, but I don't remember how much I paid.
It's all right if you buy it in, like one of these big stores or something. You get it a lot cheaper. You buy it over a bar, it's going to cost you plenty. That's what that guy's in for the business. I guess he gets about
50% drop. You can't go and sit at the bar and drink your own beer.
Yeah. You wouldn't last long in that bar. You'd be shut off and sent out. Those who'd call the police.
Doug, I don't know what we're going to do about the fishing. I guess we just have to go back to Loch Lusa.
Somewhere.
Over at Orange Lake.
Yeah.
Somewhere where you can get out in the boat, say.
Yeah.
Which is far out.
Yeah.
That really reminds me of a place I used to go when I was a kid, see the swamp, they called it. You'd be walking to ground and keep moving with you all the way out, all boggy.
Yeah. Just wear your snowshoes.
Yeah, you'd have to wear boots. But the best fish there is, nobody ever went there because it was so dangerous. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to go to that cedar swamp all the time and fish.
Well, if George came out, it'd be no trouble at all for him to run down to one of these little fish camps and go out.
No, I'd be nice to go out.
Yeah.
But you see, this is worse than it's been.
Yeah.
And I've been out there, and it's no trouble. You push a little piece of tree, and then you get in the boat, and you push with a paddle. But yeah, you see, you got to push the boat all the way out there. This is about as dry as it's been, see?
Yeah, it's a dry stuff.
You see, the water has been all up until now, it's been clear on up to the edge.
I know.
The water has been there, it hasn't been deep,
yeah.
So it's been up there.
But it's been so you could get the boat out. Until recently.
I didn't realize it was that far.
I didn't realize it was either until, well, just yesterday, I guess. I
but I remember about the first year I had cattle down here, the second somewhere along there. We really had a drought, and this country, this time of year, is dry. And all this country was just dry, and the grass was sort of spindle and turned purple and all. And in that back pasture, the water was going way on out. But you see, as it went out, there'd still be that band of fresh grass. And that kept my cows going all that dry spring. Well, it didn't make them fat, but they didn't suffer. And now you see, it's not too wide across there. But when the back of your property, you see, goes like this and like this, you see, in a half a mile there, you may have a mile of that swamp. That saved me. Oh, I was thankful for that maiden thing back there. And, you know, for a long time after that, if it growed up, you know, if there's plenty of grass, they wouldn't keep it down. And I'd take some more back there and, you know, go through, make three or four passes and keep enough of it mowed down where it is tender, where it is.
I don't think I'd make much of a cattle now.
It's right steady.
Yeah.
You see, when you're not back there with them, you still got them on your mind.
Yeah.
When you don't realize it, you still got them on your mind.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, George, I wouldn't care about them being a cattleman, but I sure would like to have somebody who knew something about carpentry around. That sure would be nice.
Yeah.
That's something you could teach Guy. He doesn't know anything about it.
I don't know too much about
don't
that.
You?
Yeah. Just like a helper.
Oh, a helper.
Of course, I can nail a 2x4 on or something like that. That's what you need on that table out there.
Well, that needs a new table.
Huh? Yeah, you could fix that up.
Yeah, you can fix
it up. Not,
if you have nails on it, you have to use a drill.
Yeah.
And bolts.
Yeah.
That hard wood, the way it is now, hard wood won't take a nail. You have to use a bowl. Now that's my experience. But see, if I'd got that earlier before you brought it out and kept it out of rain a little bit, then it would have been all right.
Yeah, if I'd got to you all earlier, I'd have got you on it today.
I wonder how it'd be to you. The cypress wood, the lake, the same thing in the rock with that.
That's right. Except the cypress, it's all sapwood.
Good one.
It's all sapwood.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get any, you know, solid pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I make gates out of cypress, and it just disintegrates. Stay there a while, and the first thing you know, it's coming to it.
Right, I mean, I got a little sack that can hold up.
Yeah, well, it would have been fabulous if you got a little sack of stuff. That's the reason they use all these metal gates. I don't care for the metal gates. You can't touch them, they're bent. But I've got a life smart. If I put cattle in again, I've got to rebuild fences, and you know, fencing is going to get price stand by that. Just a fence. Even barbed wire costs $18-$20 a roll. Well, you see how far. And it's got so that wire is not very good. You know, there's a whole lot of difference in the wire. You think wire is wire, but it don't work out that way. You never hung out with Peggy's friends up in Georgia.
I know you want to. quite a few of them, but I never hang around with anyone.
He has the family there around
him, doesn't he? Yeah, right. One lives in back of it, one lives down the end of the next street over him.
Yeah, but you are.
The other cloud is some more. Some Uncle John, Dick.
Now, which one's in the hospital now?
That's HL or something like that. He come down to retail, he was an electrician.
Yeah.
I think he worked for the Ford company too. He come down to retail and the cancer eats him up.
Oh, he didn't know it?
I guess he knows it now. I noticed on his face he had cancer and he moved. You see, that's when they moved on me. You see them blotches on his face.
He's the one in the hospital now.
Yeah. That's a hell of a thing to get ready to tell and then ready to die.
That's why you and Guy were smart to decide when you did.
Yeah.
Well, I've done it earlier if I had it, I had enough sense.
Yeah.
You just wait for things to creep up on you, that's not it. I don't get that. Well, if I decided 5 years ago, I was a whole lot different 5 years ago, Joe.
Mm.
I had a whole lot more vigor 5 years ago. That's the truth. They go in there and see why they're getting along.
Okay.
I don't know what they want to do.
Well?
How do you get along with the old people?
Well, they may be having a good time. They're all leaving alone.
I think I did a glass of
water. Peggy's there, she'd drag her out of that bathroom.
Peggy tried to say something, he said, told her, and you took the mask. She's going home. I came around to Peggy, I said, you heard him, you took the goddamn mask. Yeah. They come right. I was sitting at the bar when they come in, and about 3 minutes later, he just popped in. He just got through work, I guess.
You were sitting at the bar when they came in?
Yeah. He popped right in a few minutes later.
He must have been home and missed
him. Well, he was passing by when he was welding there, and he arrived to, I don't know what the hell you would call it, a sort of a... What do they call them, cars, driven men, van, wagon, or some damn thing. And he's seen her car outside the ace the bar door. That's how he got wise.
And he knows it too.
Yeah.
What happened, he got the door.
I guess he does.
Well, what was that she was telling about that? They was over there at one of those grunts and they was all dancing.
Mm.
And somebody started about that song. Me and Jesus.
Oh, yeah. You got the stuff in it.
Yeah.
It killed the whole party.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hell of a song to put around Jeep drinks and things, and they got it now.
Have
you? Yeah, they cut two or three religious songs. I don't believe in that. Religion belongs in this place, not in the bar. Yeah. It's just like,
Yeah, now was this boy singing it, or did he play it?
He was playing it on the band.
He put
and they were dancing to it.
He put his nickel in the juice in the box and got that in there.
Yeah, I guess that was it.
I thought
it was a band, she said. I don't know. I forget. They were dancing to it anyhow.
Yeah.
A hell of a song to dance to.
Well, was that over that place to hell you on?
No, it must be some. I think she said Bobby Hideaway. That's from Walden.
Way over there.
Yeah.
Well, Walden's not the far from here.
Yeah, it's like 12, 15 miles.
You like that place?
I don't know what it is.
Then they had to have water that didn't have any taste to it, or any iron or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I would get some of that and bring it over there to drink it. And I liked it.
Mm.
And I used to get drinking water up here, this deep well that a friend of mine had, who was up there at that Mercer area, and you never knew him, Phil Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And you never knew him. He was a long, tall fella. I don't know why you wouldn't run into him.
Mm-hmm. Patterson.
Yeah. And you talk about scrappers. Well, he's scrappers. He didn't do any fighting, but he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
He could just get in the eye almost. And he was one of the nicest fellas you ever saw.
Mm.
I swear to God. He retired about, hell, he was up there from the war.
Mm.
He cut that stand of, that last big stand of Cypress over there at Meganoka Junction.
Mm.
As the last stand of Cypress in this country, he cut that.
Mm.
And then he settled over here and went to work up there. And they put him at that Murphy area, and I think because that's where he stayed.
Hmm.
Until he retired about, well, I don't know, 65, 67, somewhere along there.
Hmm.
65 maybe. Oh, hell, I don't know when he retired, because he was out for 7 years before he died.
Hmm.
He had a bad heart. Oh, he was a card. I never knew he was a card. If he would sit down here, George, you'd know it.
Patterson.
Bill Patterson. And that old Herlong took over. Herlong was there before he got there. But she didn't run into them. That's good. Now, Herlong was high, and he lives back over here. South. Down there, from Mickenoka over on the far side of Tuscarora. His daddy, you know, was one of the rich men here. And his uncle was congressman from down around Lake County. I don't know. I know his daddy. I used to go out every now and then. His daddy was elderly, way on up in years. But I used to go out with him and look at some land. He'd go anywhere to sell you a piece of something. First time I really got a shock for the land prices, he showed me a little piece of rundown land over there with a little bit of short growth timber on it. I don't know how big it was, but I remember the price very well. He said he was just $5,000. The way things were selling then, $1,000 would have been big money. You see, the prices come up slow over the last couple of years.
They jumped up. That old shack I live in, you know, one time that was very valued at $1,600. And it's lower than that, and now it's gone up to, that was the last price I got on it. Went up to 2,400 and something, and now it's valued at 2,400. It's valued damn near right now at over $4,000. Just for that shack.
Yeah. Man lies.
The minute I got the toilet in, it bounced up $1,900 in one lump sum. The toilet don't amount to nothing. I still gotta have that out there, sir. Oh, man.
Well,
just to run the pipe out of on the toilet cost me $785 for the plumber to run the pipe.
George, I don't believe that. That's hard to believe.
That's show you the goddamn paper. I got them yet. $785. And that was a colored preacher that put it in brown. That's why I had to get that $1,000 out of the credit union to pay him. He was running that damn pipe. I borrowed $600 off of a household finance. Yeah. He put the bathtub Miss Irby gave me, and that little sink that's in there, he got it someplace for a buck, a secondhand sink. He told me he'd get them all for $1 a piece. That's all it cost him, was to put that one bathtub in the toilet and that little bowl and run that pipe, $785. I believe the goddamn toilet was secondhand, too. Man. You don't believe that, huh?
That's hard to believe it.
If you wait until the next time you're around, I'll dig that out and show it to you. I was so goddamn mad. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't get no other plumber. They're all busy. Damn plumbers charge you $20 to just come and look at something, you know.
There's an old fellow over here.
And you know how long it took him to put it in?
Couple days.
Yeah, about 6 hours. Came in with one of them diggers and dug the fence out, laid the pipe. No fence flat. I said, $785 and just this. And come back the next day, put in the other stuff in there. Few hours, and then it was a bump job all the way around. I had to call him back because the damn thing was leaking in a couple of places. But that's what they made me do. They also was going to condemn the house. And change my electrical wiring, which I haven't changed much yet.
How long has that been?
Huh? Oh, about 2 years now.
What do you have? Your outhouse?
Yeah.
Well, what in the hell is wrong with an outhouse? Out there in the woods, George.
Yeah, but they're not allowed in the city limits. They make everybody tear them down, but I bet you there's a hell of a lot of nigger places that still got them. I didn't look around, but I know damn well there's a lot of nigger houses that have them.
You know, that's what we used until I got to school. And even after we got some running water in the house, we'd still go out there in the garden with that little old outhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know. And hell,
like I used to go out there and sit down and read the paper.
Out there by yourself.
Yeah.
God almighty, come to think about it, you know, I can see the inside of many an outhouse around this country there.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord help me. A lot of the houses I hadn't been in, out there in the country where I grew up, but I had been in a lot of the outhouses. Ain't that something? Yeah. Well, you see what you do, when you're growing up, you see, you'd be out there with the other fellas your age,
yeah.
And you might go out there to the outhouse, but you wouldn't go indoors. That's where it was. Yes, sir, I can see it in an outhouse, now come to think about it.
Yes, it was all around that neighborhood for a while.
I still don't see anything wrong with them.
Well, they said they caused pollution.
You know what? They all you know what I found out? Now, over Newberry, they put that, they widened that highway through there. And when they did, the state practically forced the city of Newberry to put a white road down there. And just to keep that white road going would cost them $200 or $300 a month. And the state was behind it. The town of Newberry didn't have much choice. I remember when that happened, and I remember the fellow that told me about it. And it was just hard to believe that the state would get in behind stuff like that. Let me tell you, I used to hang around over there in the farm, in the farm, and I knew a lot of them.
I keep forgetting you don't like your smoking.
I don't come in my way, see. It's on you. Yeah. You don't mind. You don't mind it. And I'd see all that equipment over there. That old John Deere and the Ford and all. And it's the first time that I found out or realized that I always figured that if the state bought a piece of equipment, that meant it was the best equipment on the market. Well, what I found out over there was that they just bought some of all of it. And it meant nothing whatsoever, except that the state was in politics and had to buy that stuff, or they wanted to buy it. Now that's the first I ever realized. And then you got all this other stuff to do with the state, make them sit a white way out there and make them the town don't want to be. And pay all that price for it. And hell, if it's been me, I'd rather not have it. Who wants all that stuff to do with it? I've been stuck many times on this stuff. But I tell you, I have money not to get hit bad at any one time. Yeah. I've just been lucky with that. Now you see, I had to rewire this house. This thing here didn't have a and this thing caught on fire one time after I got here. And this happened to somebody was here. And so we took out all that wiring. Well, that was back and not long after I got on here. And I guess that was around maybe 53. And at that time, these fellas were still available. They hadn't all gone into town to work. Oh, Willie Chili did that to me.
Anybody got anything?
Well, we're doing fine right at the moment.
Okay. Everybody's doing fine.
And Willie came over here and didn't go there. And he charged me, I paid it down half an hour, and I paid him. I think I kind of doubled the price, whatever he charged, I doubled it. Because I knew it was worth more than that. And he was a great talker. And he'd keep his own time. And if he got to talking to the guy out there and couldn't stop, he would
knock it off.
He'd knock that off. And I'd tell him, hell, Willie, I'm glad to see you here, because I'm running late something. We talking about Trump or something like that. As long as he's standing there and talking about doing anything, I don't care what he's talking about, he'll be busted. Well, he's the superintendent of the Senate school out there, keeps the check going. I didn't know that at the time. And I guess he figured he's got a kind of fear on him. And he's a nice fellow, you know, down there, really chilly. Now, he's loving up there. And you see, he's out of preservation out here. I wonder if I could get him, you see, he could rewire that. He's got electricity and everything else. He did all this work here for me. You see, I got out here just in time. I bought the place just in time. And then I lived out here just long enough to sort of, I put in both these pumps. New pumps, yeah. The wells were there, but I put in the pumps. A little of everything. And painted and everything. And I got here just in time. Just under the wire, you see, before them prices started skyrocketing. If I had it to do now, you see, I couldn't talk about buying a place like this. Hell, I couldn't buy five acres. Not now.
I imagine you'd pay over $1,000 an acre right now, if not more.
Yeah. And you'd be lucky to find it in that, from what I hear. And then the people that got it don't want to sell it. A lot of them.
A poor man ain't got a chance now.
He'll
be.
Well, now that's, you got to think of that. You saw the unions come in and you get a better deal working for the nursing home. But now, I don't care how good a deal you got. When you come out here buying property, you're the low man.
Yep.
Because the money you make ain't in this class.
Yeah.
Only people by money now are rich people.
Yeah. Rich get rich and the poor get poor.
Even with the union.
Yeah.
Well, now, what do you think is going to come on to equalize it again?
Might take another depression.
Except in depression,
poor
man don't suffer more than
that. That's right.
Hard way, ain't
it? Yeah.
Well, it would get easy. Yeah. I think about that a lot of times. just pure circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
That I ever got out of it. I got this place for $125 measure with a house going in.
You did all right. Yeah.
But that was the last going.
Just
the last going. And you know what I could get for this now? It's just
about $100,000.
Yeah.
Without even thinking of it.
But let me tell you, suppose I said it.
Where are you going from now?
I'm going from here.
I just hold on to what I got. Then you won't get any better than this.
I remember one of this fellow I know out there, close to Hawthorne. He was trying to sell his house there for the longest time, won $10,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't come by there not long ago and offered him $20,000.
That's
an old beat up house.
Mm-hmm.
He got a right smart land. And you know he couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't afford to take it.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to pay in tax on it, because it turns out much more than he paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had anything else he could get.
And that's a little old shack that I got there, but if I ever put my mind to start fixing it up, it's good enough for me. I gotta pay rent now, I wouldn't be able to live.
How about that?
Gotta pay it up in time.
I borrowed money to pay it out there, and I borrowed it from my family up there on Tennessee. They had a bank. Some of the parts of my family pretty well good. And you know, just as soon as the money started rising, I'd pay him 50 cents. He started lifting my interest. Well, in my estimation, that ain't right. That is,
he's going to the money up there, guaranteed it for us.
All right, now if I start borrowing some more from him, he can charge me 7 or 8 or 9, whatever the current price is, but he can't raise that other.
Yeah.
So I paid him off and told him to go to hell.